This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Forgiveness is something we do individually, but families do it. Church can do it. Country can do it. Seeking forgiveness is something that happens on multi-levels of life, but it begins here. I can't ask forgiveness for my country until I ask forgiveness for me. And that's true with you. I can't ask forgiveness for my family or my church if I don't ask forgiveness for me. It starts very personally with me and with you. So let's just begin with a time of seeking the Lord's forgiveness in prayer. Lord Jesus, we do seek your forgiveness as a nation, but we realize we need to seek it as individual men and women and young people. So we do that today, not just in a song that we sing, but in a life we live. We seek your forgiveness daily. But we realize that we sin daily. And sin is not something that's just occasional. It's a part of life. If we were born into a world of sin, we live in a sinful world. And sin is all around us, and it impacts our lives in ways that sometimes we're not even conscious of. But today we say, Lord, in the name of Christ, forgive us. And we claim that forgiveness and that power of forgiveness through communion. And that's part of the power of communion, is that we realize this is a manifestation of the forgiveness of God for the sin in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I had never heard the song I'm going to quote to you till I was leading a Bible study one day in Dallas, Texas. Every week for 2 years, I led a Bible study at Fox Television Sports in Dallas, Texas. And one of the men in the Bible study group brought the words to a song that Garth Brooks wrote in 1989. I know someone will say, well, do you know his situation personally? I'm not interested in talking about his marital situation now. I just want you to listen to the lyric of a song he wrote in 89 called Unanswered Prayers. It goes like this. Just the other night at a hometown football game, my wife and I ran into my old high school flame. And as I introduced them, the past came back to me, and I couldn't help but think of the way things used to be. She was then the one I wanted for all times, and each night I'd spend praying that God would make her mine. And if you'd only grant me this wish I wished back then, I would never ask for anything again. Have you ever done that where you said, God, if you just give me this one thing, I'll never bug you again? I've done that. She wasn't quite the angel that I remembered in my dreams, and I could tell that time had changed me in her eyes too, it seemed. We talked about the old days. There wasn't much we could recall. I guess the Lord knows what he's doing after all. And as she walked away, I looked at my wife, and then and there I thanked the good Lord for the gifts in my life. Now here's the refrain or chorus. Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the Lord upstairs that just because he may not answer, it doesn't mean he doesn't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Now, I believe that to be true, but I don't want to be the first to say that I also believe that some of God's greatest gifts are answered prayers. And hopefully you've had the experience in your life where you prayed for a person for weeks, for months, for years, perhaps. And finally, the Lord answered your prayer. Do you remember those emotions you felt when you said, finally, he came to Christ? Finally, she came to Christ. She changed her life. He changed his life. And we all have experienced answered prayer and unanswered prayer. And today we're going to talk about prayer in a way that I haven't talked about here before. And that is the idea that Jesus taught about in Luke, about the idea of being persistent in prayers, not giving up.
We'll continue with part two tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org.
I was wondering, when I was preparing this message, why would Jesus talk about the need for you and I to have persistence in prayer? And then it dawned on me. The greatest temptation in praying for you and for me is to give up. Let's be honest. The greatest temptation in prayer for you, for me, is to say, what's the use? I've been praying for months and nothing's happened. Well, I've been praying for years about that situation or about his situation or her situation and nothing's happened. And if you go home with anything today, this is what I want you to go home with. The Lord says, don't give up in prayer. Don't ever, ever give up in prayer. Let's read it together in Luke 18. I'll be reading just the first six verses from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? If you underline in your Bible, underline the words day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? The cover story for Newsweek magazine was this title, The Mystery of Prayer. I can still picture the cover in my mind for some reason. I remember the cover. The Mystery of Prayer. And I would be the first to say there are mysteries to prayer. There are things we don't understand. We don't comprehend about prayer. We don't understand the whys and the wherefores. But let me tell you this, there is little mystery to what Jesus said today when he simply said, I want to tell you a story, and the purpose of the story is to get you to always pray and never give up. What's mysterious about that? Nothing. Somebody in this room needs to hear the message today because you're right on the verge of giving up praying for somebody. You're right on the edge of saying, it's not going to happen, it's never going to happen. You're right on the edge of saying, why should I continue to pray? We've all been there. We're all there for some of us about some issue in our life, about a loved one that you're concerned about. And so the message today is, don't give up. Always pray. And even the phrase I wanted you to underline has a significance, that to pray day and night, which means God listens 24/7. What I'd like to do is something a little different in this message. I want to talk about the two people in our story today. So if we could bring that section up, the two people in our story. First of all, the judge. He's described by Jesus in this way. He didn't fear God or care about people. And I have parenthetically, that's a bad combination. The judge didn't fear God or care about people. Listen carefully. You have people that live on your street that fit this description. You work with people who don't fear God and who don't care about people. But before we start throwing rocks at people, remember that may describe how you were and how today you still struggle with those things. So this is not a thing of arrogance to say, yeah, I work with people like that, or I know I've got a brother-in-law like that. It could be us. When young people are looking for a spouse, I think this is probably the best advice to give a young man or a young woman looking for a husband or wife is to look for somebody, get this, who simply fears God and who cares about people. I guarantee you, if a woman marries a man who does not fear God and who doesn't care about people, she's going to have problems in that relationship. It's just a matter of time. If a man picks a woman who doesn't fear God, who doesn't care about people, it won't be too long in the relationship, whether it's weeks, months, or even a few years. There's going to be problems because that is a terrible combination of traits to have to say, I don't fear the Lord and I don't care about people. And so the message to a young person today, someone looking for a spouse, find someone who does fear Almighty God, which means to respect Him, to honor Him, to believe in Him. That's what it means to fear God. And a person who cares about people simply has an awareness that there are other people on this planet besides me. And there are people who have needs besides me. And there are people who have cares besides me and have problems besides my problems. That's what it means to care about people, the judge. Let's bring up the second person in our story, the widow. She had nothing and had no power. Jesus, in my mind, purposely used an illustration of a widow for this reason. A widow represented in this day and age the least power of any individual. A widow had no financial clout. A widow had no political clout. A widow had no government assistance. There was no Social Security. There were no food stamps. There were no aid programs, SSI and all the other programs, Medicare, Medicaid. None of that existed. And so to say a person was a widow was to say she was the most powerless and weakest person in the community. So here you have a judge who doesn't fear God, he doesn't care about people, let alone this widow, and you've got the most powerless, weakest person there is. And Jesus uses that as an illustration about persistence in prayer for you and for me. Well, let's bring up the message of the story. The first one is this. Persistence in prayer is not just a suggestion. The Lord wants to see it in my life. Can we bring that up? The persistence in prayer is not just a suggestion. The Lord wants to see it in my life. I was wondering, why is it that the Lord wants me to be persistent in prayer? Does the Lord stand up in heaven and he's got his arms folded and he's looking down at you and me and say, a few more 100 times. Come on. You prayed 200 times about this. I want to see 300. Just like, you know, give me 50 push-ups, the Marine sergeant. No, that's not what it is. Has nothing to do with it. What it is about persistence in prayer is the Lord wants me to develop a relationship that comes through persistent prayer. Tell me who you talk to all the time, and I'll tell you the people you probably have relationships with. Tell me the people you never talk to, and I'll tell you people you don't have a relationship with. There's something to be said about communicating with anybody on a consistent, persistent level. You develop a relationship with that person, whether you're aware of it or not, and whether they're aware of it or not. And I think the demand for persistence in prayer by Jesus is to say, develop a relationship. And it's also not just a relationship, but it's a relationship of trust. It's a relationship of trust that I'm going to develop a relationship with my Heavenly Father that demonstrates that not only do I believe He's capable of answering my prayers, I trust that He will.
And I believe it's quite possible somebody's listening and say, that's a real stretch for me to believe that I can trust God to answer my prayer. We'll continue tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org.
One of the most dramatic prayer stories or prayer requests in the whole Bible is in the Old Testament. Remember the men with the funny names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into the fiery furnace? And I love what they say because it's a great lesson about prayer. They tell Nebuchadnezzar, the king who's about to throw them in the furnace, we believe our God will deliver us. Now, this is really important. Listen to what they say. We believe our God will deliver us from this furnace. But one of them says this, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to believe in him. Isn't that remarkable? We believe God will pull us out of the fiery furnace, which he did. You remember that there was the fourth man in the furnace, which some scholars say was a pre-type of Christ there, the Holy Spirit, an angel of God, whatever you want to call it. But they said, we believe that God will deliver us, but even if he doesn't, and I think the King James phraseology is this, but if not, we'll still believe in him. Sometimes the but if not is going to happen in your life with some issue. It's going to happen with me and my life in some issue. The but if not comes to pass, and we have to make the decision ahead of time. We pre-decide that we believe God will deliver us, we believe God can meet this request, but even if he doesn't, we still believe him. Why? For this reason. This is really important. I want you to get this. Your confidence is not in getting your prayer request. Your confidence is in the Lord, period. Your confidence has got to be in him, in the person, God, not in whether or not he meets my individual prayer request. Persistence in my life is not a suggestion. The Lord wants to see it in my life. Let's bring up the second one. The Lord is not looking for religious people. He's looking for people of faith. I really think this is important. The Lord is looking for people of faith. Religious people are interested in ritual. People of faith are interested in relationship. Religious people are big on rules. People of faith are big on love. Religious people are interested in doing things rightly, and people of faith are interested in doing the right thing and having the right relationship. I think you get the gist of what I'm saying. The Lord is not looking for religious people. He's looking for people of faith. Something that helped me, maybe in a strange way, to be a stronger person of faith is I was listening to a program on the radio one night, and it was about astronomy. And the speaker on this program was talking about one particular star, and she said that this particular star that she named was 40 light years away from the Earth. Now, if I understand it correctly, that means that it takes 40 years for the light that leaves that star today to get to the Earth. So if I understand it correctly, the light that I see from that star when I look up tonight at that particular star left 40 years ago. But to think that I pray to the one who created that star 40 light years away, not 40 miles or 400,000 miles or 4 million miles, but 40 light years away. And that's incredible. That's why we can be people of faith, because we look at the universe and we see that God has not just put things in positional orbit and gravitational orbit. That's the God that we communicate with. The one who can set the moon and the stars in place is the one that's interested in my life. And that's what I think Jesus wanted you to know and wants me to know, that the creator of heaven and earth is also interested in my everyday life and yours. It's hard to believe for some people. It's hard for Christians to believe, but he is. Florence Chadwick was a woman, a professional swimmer, who in July of 1952 waded into the water off Catalina Island off the coast of California. Now, if you're familiar with California at all, I think it's Santa Barbara, that you can look off the shore and you see this big island that's quite a ways away, but it looks close, but it's really not. It's, I think, what did I say, 40 miles away. And she was going to swim across the channel there, Catalina Island Channel, to California. The water was numbing cold. There was tremendous fog, and sometimes she couldn't even see the boats that were assisting her. Now get this. This is a woman that had already swum the English Channel, so she was a professional swimmer. This was not intimidating to her necessarily, just on the face of it. She'd done this type of thing. After 15 hours of swimming, she was almost to the shore, but she asked to be pulled out of the water. Was it because it was too cold? No. Was it because she was tired? No. She said, "I asked to be pulled out of the water because I couldn't see the shoreline because of the fog." And she later said this, "If I could have just seen the shoreline, I might have made it. I may have stayed with it." And her coach kept telling her, "Look, you're not far away. You're not far away." But she gave up. That to me was a parable with prayer. How many of us have given up in prayer because there's a fog in front of you in terms of your prayer request, and you can't see the end result? You can't see where this thing is going, this situation, and you want to give up because you can't see the shoreline. Do you know the Bible says this about God the Father? He sees the end from the beginning. I love that. The Lord is the one who sees the end from the beginning, meaning he sees the whole thing in your life. He sees your life from your moment of birth to your moment of death. He knows when you're going to die. He knows that moment, and I think we should pray, "God, make me ready for that moment, whenever it may be. I want to be in a right relationship with you. I want to be in a right relationship with people when that moment comes," because he knows the end from the beginning. You say, "That's a morbid thought." No, it's just a righteous observation. That's the way life is. It's just what is. He knows the end from the beginning, and he's looking for people of faith. He's not looking for religious people interested in keeping rules, but in people who are keeping faith. I want to bring up one more. We are to always pray and not give up. Now, you may say, well, that's obvious. Well, that's right. It's stated in the text. But listen carefully. The Lord is speaking to you today and to me not to give up. Because the temptation in life is to give up. That's your temptation. That's my temptation, is to throw in the towel spiritually and say, what's the use? And today I want to bolster you in your spirit. I want to strengthen you and me in our spirits and say, I'm not going to give up praying for that loved one. I'm not going to give up praying for a son or daughter. I'm not going to give up praying for a husband or wife. I'm not going to give up praying for my parents, as the case may be. Whatever your situation may be, whatever that besetting need is in your life, I'm going to keep praying because I'm under orders. It's not a suggestion. It's a command of the Lord to always pray and to not give up. Recently, I talked about forgiveness. I think it takes faith to forgive. It takes faith to forgive, and I believe it takes faith to pray. It takes faith to live. It takes faith to die. It takes faith to do anything in life. And the one who taught us how to pray, the master prayer who gave us the model prayer and who prayed the model prayer, is the one who said you can approach God not only as a powerful deity, but as your Father. Our Father who art in heaven.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.